Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will continue our studies in the benedictions of the Bible. And today we wish to consider one of the most majestic benedictions, in my estimation at least, in all of the scriptures. It's found in the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It's the climax of the book of Hebrews, among the last verses of that epistle. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to follow us in the scriptures. Here is the benediction. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This wonderful benediction is the climax of the Hebrew epistle. It tells us something about what is in the epistle. It tells us something about what is the purpose of the epistle. And it outlines in the most wonderful way what the Lord Jesus Christ is to us. Now, in the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, and I believe he is the writer, the authorized version says he is, and I believe he was the author of the Hebrew epistles, although he does not attach his name to it. Now, there's a reason for this, I believe. The Apostle Paul, the mention of his name in the minds of many people would immediately cause dissension. It would immediately cause them to be prejudiced, because Paul was known in those early Bible days. And Paul was very anxious that his name not be associated with it, so that there should be no prejudice against that which he had to say. Now, in the Hebrew epistle, this epistle is written to take the wean, I believe is the better word, to wean the Jewish person away from the ornate ritual of the temple. The temple was a magnificent temple, even in our Lord's day. It was 46 years in building, and that temple was a magnificent temple, so magnificent that Peter, even in the closing days of our Lord's ministry, said, "Behold the manner of buildings that are here." And the Lord had to tell Peter, "The time is coming when there will be not one stone left upon another stone of these buildings which you see." Now, the Jewish people were very, very much very provincial, I believe is a better word, very provincial in their worship. They associated God with that temple. They associated God with the tabernacle and the wilderness because of the glory cloud that was over the tabernacle, over the Holy of Holies. The tip of the cloud came right down over the top of the Holy of the Holies of that tabernacle. It was a cloud by day and a fire by night. And the Jewish people associated God with that tabernacle, and later they associated him with the temple. Even in the book of Daniel, Daniel, when he prays, opens his windows toward Jerusalem and prays, if you please, toward Jerusalem. Now, even in the book of Acts, Peter and John went up to the temple at the time of prayer, which was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the time of the evening sacrifice. They went up to the temple. Were they any closer to God when they got to the temple? No. But it was Jewish custom. Now, the book of Hebrews was written to draw the Hebrew person, the Jewish person, away from that which could be seen and felt to that which is eternal. The Apostle Paul wrote so wonderfully in the Corinthian epistle, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, God is not seen, but he is very, very real. Gravitation, the force of gravitation, you can't see it, but it's very, very real. You can't see electricity, but it's very, very real. You can see the results. There are so many things that you can't see, even in the physical world, that are very real to us. But For the things that are spiritual, we have to apprehend them by faith. That's what the book of Hebrews is written for, to draw those Jewish people away from that which is seen and heard and felt, in which they could take pride, which would limit, if you please, their worship of God, and transfer them to the apprehension of God by faith. And that is why that great faith chapter is in the book of Hebrews, a wonderful, wonderful chapter. Now let's think, if you will please, about those Jewish sacrifices that they offered in that temple. They merely pointed forward to Christ. Hebrews is a book of comparisons. The word better is used many, many times during the epistle to Hebrews, and it shows the superiority of Christ over all those types and shadows and examples that the Jewish people had. Now, imagine, if you will, please, a book that is written to display the glories of Christ. That's the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews shows us the superiority of Christ over Moses, over Joshua, over Aaron. They never brought the people of God into complete blessing. Christ did. They're dead. Their bodies lie in the tomb. Of course, their spirits and their souls are in heaven. But our Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Did you remember that we read in this benediction, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good will to do his work, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, we want to compare the two covenants. The first covenant was sealed with the blood of animals. If we had time, we would go into the ninth chapter and see how this is true. But the new covenant was sealed with the blood of Christ. We read in, for instance, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. Again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." What a stern, stern threat is addressed to the children of Israel, who would count the blood of the everlasting covenant. Christ sealed that covenant with his own blood. And that blood has brought us into the presence of God. That has rent the veil. Rent the veil in the temple. You remember the veil in the temple was rent when Christ was crucified, showing, and it was rent from the top to the bottom, incidentally. And it's not incidental. It's very, very important. It was rent from the top to the bottom, showing it was an act of God. The way into the holiest of all is because Christ has shed his blood, and the blood of bulls and goats, which could never take away sins, have been superseded by the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Now this is the climax. This wonderful benediction is the climax of the Hebrew epistle. Notice we have the risen Christ as contrasted to those men whose bodies were still in the tomb. We have the great shepherd as compared with the shepherds of Israel. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. The great leaders of God's people were shepherds. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, we see Christ as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. We see him as the great shepherd here in Hebrews chapter 13. And then we see him as the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, he is seen as the great shepherd because he cares for the sheep, and as the chief shepherd, he rewards the under-shepherds when he comes for the sheep. But here he is seen as the great shepherd. What is the significance of this? Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. He's the great shepherd because he is approachable. Now, we said at the beginning of the broadcast that Jewish religion made those people provincial. They thought they had to go to the temple to pray. But Christ is not confined to a temple. Even Solomon said that when he built his temple. He said, the heavens and the of heavens cannot contain thee, much less this house which I have built. Solomon taught something of the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the temple made them travel someplace to pray. We don't have to do that. Christ is instantly available as the great shepherd of the sheep. We don't have to go to a temple. We don't have to go to a holy place. We don't have to go to a church and sit there in silence, perhaps the only one in there. To pray to God, we don't have to do that. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd of the sheep because he can care for all his sheep. In his omniscience, he knows them all. In his omnipresence, he indeed hears them all. In his omnipotence, he's coming to transfer them all into the glory and to transfigure them, to give them new bodies. Yes, he's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's not limited to the way that the other shepherds and the other priests were limited. Christ can hear, and I say this advisedly, he can hear a million prayers at the same time and give them individual attention. We falter, our minds fail to grasp the greatness of Christ. Think of the majesty of these words, if you please. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Oh, to know him in his omniscience. He knows me. And I'll tell you something else that I appreciate about the omniscience of God. I believe that I was in the mind of Christ when he died on the cross for me. He tasted death for every man. The great shepherd of the sheep. How majestic. He cares for the sheep. And he is that great shepherd. And it's the blood of the everlasting covenant. The Old Testament of the Old Covenant. Testament and covenant are synonymous. The Old Testament had to do with the blood of bulls and goats. The New Testament has to do with the blood of Christ. And he is available to me at all times, and he wants to make us perfect in every good work to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. That's God's ministry for you and for me. Oh, the benediction, the greatness of this benediction. Shall we savor its sweetness? Shall we stand in awe of its majesty? Our Father, we pray that you will make us realize how great Christ is. We pray in his name. Amen.